She is a radiant warmth. A Dimension 20 Fantasy High fanfic. Written by the former one. Read by Black Glass. Okay, so, how do I do this? Do I just think happy thoughts or whatever? Ida's head is tilted just a bit, and she looks bird-like in a way that makes Vic's stomach go warm. She reaches out involuntarily, just brushing a little bit of Ida's flaming red hair out of her eyes. There's a soft, fuzzy burn, one that Vic feels every time she touches her girlfriend's hair, or gets especially close to her wings. The edges of Ida's mouth quirk up. She blows her hair out of her eyes, as Vic pulls back her fingers. While I'm sure that would work for flying spells, your wings are attached to your body. You don't think happy thoughts when you go walking, do you? Only when I'm walking with you. The feeling is mutual, she replies. She steps just outside of Vic's reach and circles her. The wings are a new addition. Growing into her role as an archdevil has taken Vic most of junior year, and a decent chunk of senior year, too. At first, the responsibility had seemed like a burden. Adine, on her one elf quest to uncorrupt Valinel, had gotten pretty good at parsing out legal jargon from every realm she could find a book on. That had been a massive help. The wings were still a surprise. It had almost been like when Fig's horns first came in. The back cramps had woken Fig up in the middle of the night on more than one occasion, the month before the wings finally sprouted. Ida had rubbed Tiger Balm on her back and told her stories from the lives she remembered to soothe Fig back to sleep, when the hurt wouldn't let Fig sleep. The wings had been a little like babies when they first speared through Fig's skin. It had taken a couple more months after that for them to beef up. In those months, Fig went through what can only be described as a second puberty. Her appetite doubled, her horns grew an extra half inch each, the whole gambit. Now that her wingspan was more like an adult's and less like a blood imp's, now was the time for flying lessons. When bipeds first learn how to move, they crawl. I assume the best way to emulate that experience would be, how did you learn how to fly? Ida purses her lips. Which time? Whichever time is easiest for you to remember. Ida's brow purses like her lips did, but her memory is impeccable, so it isn't long before she looks less perplexed and more ready to handle the situation. I first learned how to fly chasing pirates out of the friendship section of the library. Why did you drive them out? Vandalism. In the friendship section? Those bastards! Agreed. Ida's wings seemed to fluff themselves up, almost independent of the person attached to them. There's a tattoo of a dark red feather on Fig's left forearm, a perfect replica of the ones that fill out Ida's wings. There'd never be another time when they wouldn't be able to get to one another. The ink, and Fig's blood, and Fig's magic, and Ida's magic, had tied the two of them together. Sorry, I interrupted you earlier, Fig starts. You were talking about how bipeds learn how to fly? Something like that, Ida replies. Why don't we start with something simple? There's a moment where Ida's entire body tenses, before she pushes herself into the air. Her wings catch the wind, throwing off red, orange, yellow light. She hovers a few feet off the ground, then circles Fig before offering her her hands. I'll hold your weight. Just focus on moving your wings. Fig, never one to shy away from a challenge, puts herself in Ida's hands. It isn't the first time Fig's flown. Between freshman year and now, Adine's cast flight on her enough times for her to have frequent flyer miles. Still, Fig's stomach flutters as Ida takes her weight, and her feet grasp for the ground. The grass is green underneath them, soft in case Fig falls, and Ida can't catch her. Fig keeps her eyes up on Ida's chin. Ida looks down, winks at her, a habit one picked up from the other. You're focusing on the wrong thing, Ida drawls. Not from where I'm hanging. Try stretching first, before you try to get the wind under you, Ida instructs. Fig nods. It's weird, but not difficult. Fig hadn't been able to really feel her horns until after they came in, but she's always aware of them now. The wings shouldn't be such a big step, really. She doesn't really think about it when she takes a step in front of the other, or when she moves her fingers to play her bass. It just comes naturally. She'd already learned how to do it. How did your back feel?
Not like anything, she replies,
biting the inside of her cheek. Are you sure happy thoughts wouldn't help?
I'm sure it wouldn't hurt.
Okay, help me think of some. Mostly I'm starting to feel bad for weighing you down. There's a warm, strong squeeze on either of Fig's hands.
You don't weigh me down, Figaroth Faith.
That teases a smile out of Fig. She kicks her legs out underneath her, still looking at the grass and the wildflowers sticking out of the dirt below them. They were only about 6 or 7 feet in the air. I recall the first time I saw you perform live in concert, Ida starts. I remember how struck I felt. I was convinced you were casting some powerful spell, but that was just you. I tried to cast dispel magic. You can ask Adine. She laughed when she saw me do it. It's early summer, when the air is hot and the breezes are cool. Fig thinks of the countless number of shows Ida's come to, how nervous she was to perform in front of her girlfriend the first time. She thinks of the Phoenix album, of playing it for Ida the night before the album dropped. Just Ida, Fig, and her bass, and the night growing wider, softer, sweeter around them, in the middle of October. All of those people in the arena, shouting and excited, desperate to hear you sing, to watch you play. It was the first time I had ever seen other people react to you the way that I do. Fig stares up at her, at how Ida's wings beat almost without a sound. They're made out of feathers, and light, and fire, and nothing, all at the same time. Ida is always aware of her wings, in a way that Fig is only just learning. She still knocks stuff over from time to time, which isn't really an issue, unless they're in public. I knew, in that moment, I was the single luckiest person in all of Solas. Because while those people could only watch you on stage, I got to see you off of it. At home, in your pajamas, or when you first wake up and your hair is tangled in your horns. On your birthday with your parents. With your friends. Ida's palms are warm against Fig's. Fig stares at where their hands connect, her black gloves covering her fingers, Ida's golden tattoos crisscrossing down and around her dark brown fingers. Fig had been wondering what would look better on her. Regular gold to complement her tats, or rose gold to bring out the subtler colors in her wings. Fig?
Yeah?
Ida smiles down at her. She had outgrown her wisp of a mohawk, and had settled on something more like a flaming undercut. Her bright hair had a curl to it, now that it was long enough, and a few strands poked out still from her ponytail. I'm not holding you up anymore. Fig blinks, jaw dropping. She turns her head to look over at her wings, which have extended slightly, just enough to match Ida's, and catch the wind sifting through the meadow.
When did that happen?
2 minutes ago.
Precisely?
Ida winks at her again. Why didn't you tell me sooner? Gently, Ida loosens her grip on Fig's left hand. Fig takes the hint and drops Ida's palm, but pitches sharply backward as she does. She yelps, but Ida holds firm to Fig's other hand, her opposite hand coming down to support Fig's back, keeping her from backflipping over herself. You tend to have trouble getting out of your own head, Ida responds. I circumvented that by letting you into mine. Fig doesn't stop herself. She plants a massive smooch on Ida's cheek. It gets a chuckle out of the half-phoenix, before she turns her face to press a smaller kiss against Fig's lips. I like your happy thoughts, Fig says. I'm going to try to get a little higher up. Keep holding on to me? Ida gives Fig's hand another squeeze. Of course. End of story. Thanks for listening.